Three fellows came back to church after being away for many years. And it just so happened that at that Mass, there was a visiting missionary priest, and after his homily, he said, "I now want the ushers to come around and take up a collection. And I want each and every person here to put in at least $20. Well, these three fellows had no money on them, so they didn't know what to do. They were very clever. They made a little plan. One of them would faint, and the other two would carry him out. See, these guys were pretty clever. Well, in today's gospel, we have four clever friends who tried to find a way to get their friend to Christ. There were so many people around the door that they had to be very clever. They actually climbed up on the roof, and they tore open the roof and lowered their buddy on a mat. And I'm sure this seems to have taken place in Capernaum, most likely at St. Peter's house. I could just see St. Peter grumbling. They're looking up and the roof is coming off. St. Peter was not a happy camper that day. Nor was his mother-in-law, I'm sure. But it's a wonderful story. If you take a look there, Mark chapter 2 in the Gospels. There was such a big crowd that nobody could get close to the Lord. And yet four friends decided to bring their paralyzed friend to be healed by Christ. They got there. It was so jam-packed that they went around to the back, climbed up the steps, tore open the roof, lowered their friend on the mat. And the scripture is very interesting. It doesn't say anything about the paralyzed man's faith. It says Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the four friends. It says Jesus saw their faith. And then he turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Child, your sins are forgiven." So Jesus healed this man's soul of sin. He forgave his sins. He absolved him. This man was then brought back into the state of grace by the Lord. Now the scribes and Pharisees objected. They say, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" See, they did not realize that Jesus Christ was God. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus, the Son of God, could forgive sins. And to prove it, he worked a miracle. He would then cure the man's body to prove he had power to cure the man's soul. And so he said to the young man, "Arise, stand up and walk." And the young man got up immediately and began to walk. Jesus worked a physical miracle, a visible miracle, to prove he had the authority and the power to forgive this man's sins, to work this spiritual miracle, which was the forgiveness of his sins. Now, what's encouraging for us is to realize that the forgiveness of our sins is a wonderful miracle when that occurs. Every time we go to confession and these confessionals here in the church, a miracle truly takes place, the forgiveness of our sins. It's a greater miracle than having a paralyzed person be able to walk or any kind of physical healing, because a person is going to die eventually anyway. Their body is eventually going to die, but their soul will live forever. So the healing of our soul is of infinite value, infinitely more valuable than the healing of our body. So the Lord proved today that he had the authority to forgive sins by healing this man's body. So this paralyzed person, he was truly blessed because of his good friends, his friends who carried him to Christ. Not only did he get physical healing of his body, but he got grace. He got the forgiveness of his sins. He got to receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Now, in applying this to our life, I've often thought about this as a wonderful image of evangelization, right? Because all of us have in our lives people that we know that are spiritually paralyzed. They're spiritually paralyzed. They don't pray. They don't go to church. They don't come to confession. And it's our job to be a good friend. It's our job to help our spiritually paralyzed friends, neighbors, co-workers come to church and get to meet Jesus first to have their sins forgiven. Now, when you look at the qualities of these four friends, well, first of all, friendship is very important. And it's such an important idea of friendship, that trying to bring other people, if you truly love them and care about them, you want to get them to heaven. You want to bring them closer to God. So these were good friends. And secondly, the scripture says they had strong faith. It says Jesus looked up and he saw four guys looking through the roof. He says he saw their faith, and because of their faith, he worked a miracle and he cured this paralyzed man. And you know, that's very similar to what happens in baptism. You know, some people say, well, why do you baptize babies? They don't have faith. Well, just as Jesus looked upon the faith of these four friends and he healed this man and forgave him his sins, so when parents come to church, they bring their children. Obviously, the baby's too young to have faith, but the church looks upon the faith of the parents, the faith of the godparents, and for that reason, baptizes the baby. And then original sin is washed away, and the child receives sanctifying grace and receives the very life and love of God within their heart and soul. So the same idea. So Jesus saw the faith of these friends. Also, these friends were very creative, weren't they? They weren't stopped by obstacles when the door was jam-packed. They looked for other ways. They were not put off by obstacles. They kept trying. They showed forth effort and creativity. And we ourselves have to be creative in trying to evangelize and share our faith. I remember a priest friend of mine telling me the story that once he went to visit a couple. They were having marriage problems, and he went to their house to visit them. And what he did as he left, he deliberately left his coat in their house so that way he'd have an excuse to come back again to meet with them again. See, he was very clever, very creative. I remember once I was working with a young adult from years, it's like 15 years ago. He was very big into business and management and sales, and so I lent him some of my cassette tapes, Zig Ziglar, Earl Nightingale, Jim Rohn, Brian Tracy, some of the greatest in their field of motivation, success, and sales. And actually, I just stuck a Scott Hahn conversion tape in there too. I didn't tell him about it. I just stuck it in the bag. And about a week later, he called me up so excited because he had been a fallen away Catholic, and he heard that one tape and he came back to confession. He wound up marrying a lovely young Catholic girl from our young adults group, went on to have 6 children, and a very devout Catholic today, 15 years later. So we have to be creative. We have to make use of these opportunities to evangelize. You know, in the back of the church, we have these CDs, these wonderful CDs. After you take them, give it to somebody else to listen to. You have conversion testimonies, very powerful conversion stories. Give these out to people. See, these CDs are one of the best tools for evangelization in the modern world with the new evangelization. All those pamphlets in the back of church, they're very helpful to just leave those in somebody's house or at a bus stop or on a metro, to leave those different places to evangelize with them. When you send a Christmas card or another letter, couldn't you put a holy card in there? On your answering machine, instead of just sending, you know, thank you, have a nice day, say thank you and God bless you. So that when people call your house, they're reminded of God. Our Holy Trinity car magnets have been wonderful. People said they've seen them in Richmond, they've seen them in Washington, D.C. See, that's evangelization. People thinking about God, about the church. It's a good reminder for people to come back to church. Having a pro-life bumper sticker on your car, inviting somebody to Mass, bringing somebody to confession, inviting them to RCIA, and maybe they're just not interested in those things. Well, invite them to a dance or to a social that the church is having, one of the activities, an auction or whatever. Invite them to something like that, and that could be the first step to getting them back to church. So we have to be creative. We have to be clever in ways to evangelize, in ways to spread our Catholic faith. And lastly, the fifth quality of these people, besides their friendship, their strong faith, their creativity and their effort, would be perseverance. These four guys did not give up. Even when they had difficulties and obstacles, they persevered. And that's the same thing that we have to do too, right? Never give up on souls. Always pray for them. Always try to reach out to them in kindness and charity. And that's the key there, is perseverance. Never giving up. Don't give up on souls, but continue to persevere. And if we can follow what these four fellows did, then the spiritually paralyzed people in our life, the neighbors, the co-workers, the friends, the spouse, the relatives, others, God willing, will eventually come to Christ and be spiritually healed of their sins. God bless you.